Welcome to the Blockchain Life with your host, Wall Street Journal and USA Today's best-selling author, Carrie Oberbrunner. In each episode, we explore relevant topics that help you keep your world connected and protected. Thanks for joining the conversation today. Let's begin.
The world has changed. Are you still trying to reach people the same way? If you are, you're like most people. And unfortunately, you're going to be left behind. This is why at the Igniting Souls Conference 2022, we are taking an absolute deep dive and showing authors, entrepreneurs, and influencers how to leverage the new internet to grow their book, brand, and business. All the information is at ignitingsoulsconference.com. Get your ticket today because there are limited seats. Hope to see you there. Hey folks, welcome to Blockchain Life, where we are bringing you the very best experts in the world, the people who blow my mind. I'm super excited about our guest today, sitting here on the back porch, ready to learn about blockchain. And I want to welcome Madhav with us today. How are you doing?
Doing great, Gary. Thank you.
Awesome. Awesome. So you have this really cool company, and I want to show people the website, those who are watching on video. But basically, it's product traceability data you can trust. That's a mouthful. What does that mean, and what are you going to share with us today?
Yeah. So if you look at the current world problem that everybody talks about, which is around sustainability, right? So one of the biggest drivers towards a sustainable planet is to make products more cleaner, and that happens by having a cleaner supply chain, by using the right materials which does minimal impact to the planet. So we help fashion brands to become more sustainable by using traceability data, where we help the brands to understand their supply chain, the impact of the materials that are used in the products that they sell, and we help them to reflect on it and improve the product and their footprint overall. So that's what we do at TrustRace.
It's so good. I love it. So do you use the T? I'm really into branding. I love your website. Is it like you use the T twice? Trust, trace, but I get what you're saying. Like trust, yeah. Trace?
Yeah, we don't use T twice. It is just a single T in the middle. Yeah.
T-R-U-S-T-R-A-C. Love it. Yeah. Well, and I'm looking here on your website. You have some serious players, man. Adidas, wow, that's pretty legit. I think my daughters have this type of backpack. Why are companies saying, "Look, we got to take this serious. We got to trace the contents in our products through blockchain."
Yeah. So basically, if you most of the companies, right? I mean, the supply chain is opaque for the companies. What goes into their product is opaque. Okay, I mean, I think the very nature of the distribution that is there in the fashion supply chain is bringing this opaqueness, right? Because the raw material can be sourced from one region, it can be processed in another region, it can be stitched and made as a finished product in another region, and gets consumed in a different region. So if you take a product, it can actually travel to about 32 places, right? I mean, before it gets fully converted into a product. So, right, I mean, if you look at all the components. So,
sure.
So unless the brand knows how a product is made, where it is made from, it'll be very important. I mean, it'll be very difficult for them to make a change, to make things better. I think that's where brands are looking to get this information. And also this helps them to start engaging in a dialogue, right? So with their suppliers, because we cannot suddenly, I mean, assume that everybody is going to be using the best practices, because the cost of the product suddenly will go 3x, 4x. So, I mean, of course, everything, there is a contribution towards the true cost of every product. So when I say a true cost, I mean, it's not just the raw material cost or the processing cost, but also the impact that it happens on the environment it has the exploitation that happens in the social and labor who are involved in this. If you add up all of that, right, I mean, that's when you know the true cost of the product. Today, we are not aware of this. So traceability actually helps the brands to start engaging in that meaningful conversation. First, try to understand, right? I mean, rather than just blaming a developing country which is using this as an opportunity to improve their economic position, rather than just blatantly blaming them, can we get into a conversation? Can we understand what their true problems are? And if we have to make a product in a more sustainable way, what is going to be the true cost?
Wow.
And who is going to bear that, right? So that is, it is the beginning of that conversation.
So there's some companies that realize, I mean, I'm going to be a little bit cynical here for a moment. I'm going to say that if companies are not aware about the traceability of their product, I'm going to say that it's a public relations cost. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like if a report comes out that Adidas is making shoes, but they're having to torch forests in order to do so, or disrupting animals or destroying villages, there's going to be a whole bunch of PR cost that's going to take down their brand credibility.
Yeah.
So you really, not only do you save the planet, but you also save the company to be more environmentally intelligent. Is this kind of what I'm hearing?
Yeah, you're exactly right. I think it's just to make them aware. I think once we make them aware and make them intelligent, then the subsequent steps can be taken.
I see that. I love your branding for a lot of reasons. Because, you know, I help authors, influencers, entrepreneurs. One of the things I love about your website is that you have the self-assessment to find out about your brand's level of traceability. That's pretty crazy. I never would have thought that a self-assessment, because I help authors all the time with assessments, I never would have thought that that would have been an assessment that's possible. Talk about this. Do people take that? What are they going to learn? Why would they take it? What do you think?
Yeah. So definitely most of our customers, before they sign up to us, right? I mean, we see traceability is a journey, right? So which means that, I mean, there are brands which are very matured, who have spent years in building relationship with their supply chain, trying to source products directly without having too many traders involved and so on, right? So
would this be like a Patagonia or something like that?
Yeah, Patagonia, even Adidas for that matter. I mean, I think they've got very strong sourcing strategies, and they comply. I mean, compliance to their sourcing strategy is extremely critical, because you can fix most of the issues when you make choices, right? I mean, of your suppliers and the products and the materials. So it's very critical. Not all companies, unfortunately, have had that luxury or the focus when they actually build their business, right? I mean, I think each one of us have different priorities at different point of time. So the self-assessment with regards to how mature they are with regards to their relationship with the supply chain, their knowledge of the actual products that they are producing and so on.
Wow.
Is very, very critical for the brand. See, we don't want to be judgmental saying, hey, you are good or you are bad, okay? Because everybody here has a willingness to change. It is just that where you are starting the journey changes, right? So by doing this self-assessment, they know where they are in the journey. Maybe they are 2 miles ahead, in the journey. Somebody might just be at the starting point. And it's fine, right? I mean, because you have to get started somewhere. I mean, it's not to penalize, but it's just to tell them that, okay, hey, these are the practical 4 things that you can expect in the next 2 years.
That's
because
good.
You are in stage A, right? But if you're in stage B or C, then you can do much better things, right? So for example, if you know all your suppliers, you're directly sourcing from your suppliers, then what you can achieve is much more than somebody who doesn't even have a visibility into their, I mean, their tier one or tier two suppliers.
Wow. This is good. This is good. I like what you're saying. So you're saying it's a journey and you're trying to get people to at least get in the journey and start becoming aware of it. What about somebody like me who is creating intellectual property? Would we start traceability, maybe when it comes to the physical book with the paper and the binding? Is that what you would think?
Yeah. So basically we are looking at commodities, which are the raw materials and how it is getting processed. So if you take a book, yes, I mean, you whether the paper from the wood is coming from recycled source or is it coming from any endangered forest? What type of chemicals were used? Because eventually the book has to be destroyed, right? So what is the circularity? I mean, how can it the end of life for that book be handled? And then if you look at the re-commerce aspect of your book, right? I mean, how do I know that it is an authentic print? I mean, assuming you sign and give your book, right? So then, of course, people would want to exchange that or re-commerce it. So the journey, now what we are saying is every product has a story, both a backstory and also a story forward, right? So start building that story, yeah.
Every product has a story. Wow. That's deep, man. I'm going to take that one. I agree with you on that. And, you know, I'm going to pull up a product right here. So this is funny. I'm going to pull up a product, okay? I like cereal, but I don't like a lot of carbs. And so this is keto friendly. But even look here. There's their story right there.
Yeah.
They put their story right here. We always wondered why it's. Isn't that interesting? I'm the guy who reads the labels. You know, I'll get a bottle of juice or something, and I'll flip it over and I'll read the label. I think the story is fascinating for products. So that's what you're doing. You're really helping people with traceability, tell their story.
Yeah, and make it better eventually.
Make it better. Okay. So. How did you get Adidas's attention? I'm always curious on this stuff.
Yeah, see, I think this industry, it's a very nascent industry, right? It's just emerging, the entire idea of product traceability. Well, I think something like a pharma, right? If you look at a pharma customer, and pharma as a vertical, traceability is very critical from a health and safety perspective, right? So most of the sustainability effort has been around health, safety, and environment, right? Mm. While a lot of concern were spent around, for example, pharmacovigilance, which is around how you dispose the unused drugs, etc. So pharma was always ahead of the curve. But verticals like fashion has been a new entrant into this because people now are looking at, okay, hey, this is one of the most polluting industry, not just in production, but also in terms of end of life, right? So, and end of life is even more trickier because most of them get into landfill, which means that the chemical impact or the fiber impact of the product stays in your land for much longer time than what you expected, right? So we looked at this industry about 4 years back and we were one of the front runners in this industry. We were a part of, there is a group called Fashion for Good, based out of Netherlands. So we are a part of one of their incubations. So they incubate a lot of new tech in fashion. We were a part of it, through which we got some visibility into some of the brands, large brands. And then Adidas had this requirement of building a compliance platform for their sustainability efforts. Yeah. There was an RFP process and then, I mean, it was a fairly long journey. I mean, it took us about 11 months to get into Adidas. Yeah.
So you're basically, I mean, I just looked at your website. You're humble, but you're big stuff, man. So you're the chief technology officer.
Yeah.
And the co-founder, and you've gotten the attention of some serious brands. I like that Fashion for Good. That's pretty cool. I even saw Gucci. Talk to me about this. What, and you got an ebook? I mean, gee, you're passionate about this. Why? Let me ask the why. How, you know, I'm always fascinated. Why did you get excited about this? And when did you start seeing how it could be integrated with blockchain?
Yeah. So this happened somewhere in 2016. I think all four founders, we were having a phenomenal career in our past life, right? So we're all solving some large digital problems. And then incidentally, two of us live in Sweden and two of us live in India, okay? So when we were looking at what could be a meaningful thing, right? So that's when the blockchain was also coming up. What could be one meaningful thing that we could build together, right? Sweden is a very consumer-centric market, whereas India is a very manufacturing-centric market. And there is a lot of shift of burden that has happened. We lost our rivers. I mean, last 20 years, fashion has been booming in our country. We lost quite a few of environment. I mean, it didn't come free, right? It came up with a lot of environmental damage. So when we're looking for some, I mean, what is that thing that will make our next move in the career more meaningful? We thought that sustainability around fashion might be that interesting thing. And that also fitted with the promise of decentralization that blockchain was talking about, right? Because when we talk about a commodity-based product, right? I mean, where a raw material is a commodity. Constructing the information of that requires, a very different approach, right? Okay. Because if it is if you're going to a bank and buying a service, I mean, the number of touch points you have is very less. But for a cotton T-shirt to reach your hand, like I said, right? I mean, it may travel to about 30 plus places, right? I mean, so to build a massively scalable system. Okay. Decentralization as an architectural pattern was very interesting, right? Because there is a lot of opaqueness in how things are getting done in the supply chain. You don't know all the suppliers till the raw material.
Let me give my audience an example really quick. Fair trade coffee, right? Or chocolate that has been sourced ethically. These are examples, right? Where we see the package might say something, but there's a true story that doesn't jive. Is this correct?
Yeah, you're right. I mean, I think it's very difficult to establish that authenticity. Okay? Okay. I mean, definitely there is a lot of progress that is being made across industry. But like you said, right? I mean, I just imagine coffee, cocoa, cotton, wool, right? I mean, the supply chain is really vast, right? I mean, it can originate, wool can originate from New Zealand, get processed in Italy, and then you can consume it in the Americas, right? Whereas cotton can be grown in India or China and can be grown in one of these countries and get consumed, anywhere in the world, right? So,
right.
So it's very difficult to trace back that story. And the supplier, right, the raw material manufacturer, who is a farmer, they don't know who is the eventual consumer, right? They don't know whether the cotton is going into a brand X T-shirt or it is going to a pant. They don't know that. Why would they share the data? So the very nature is that decentralization is built into the way these networks are built. Because these are small networks, right? These are smaller networks in different regions which gets connected as the product moves up. And then it shows that, I mean, I think it was a fantastic use case for what blockchain is supposed to be.
Okay.
But still, I mean, we'll talk about, I mean, there are quite a few other challenges that we have, right? Because of the assets are not digital. These are physical assets that we are trying to trace and so on. Finally, it boils down to the quality of data, right? So if you know how you can establish the quality of data,
yes,
then you can put it in blockchain, and then the use cases till the end of life of the product, right? I mean, I think it's going to change at least another 10 more hands, right?
So here's an example from my audience with food. and maybe you can then relate it to your fashion products. Years ago, there was a contamination in Chipotle, the burrito place. There was some disease that was infecting the certain types of meat. They didn't know it, but they knew people were getting sick. It took them, I believe, 8 months to locate that it was a beef farm in Australia. If they would have had it tied to the blockchain, they would have found out in about 8 minutes. But because they didn't have blockchain technology, it almost took down the company. People lost faith. If I go to Chipotle, I'll get sick. And that, you know, that'll stick with you for years. So because that could have been solved with blockchain, what are some use cases like that? I know clothing is different, but is it all about conscience and making the world better? Or is there also like a practical, economical reason as well?
Yeah, so I think the economic reasons come from the circular business models that are emerging, right? Because I think if you want to still make the same money, but with lesser products, you need to make more money from what you have already made, right? So that's where circular economy makes a lot of economic sense, right?
Yes.
Because you make the product once, but you keep making money from the product multiple times through multiple cycles, correct? So the biggest use case for a blockchain is, I mean, when you look at re-commerce, when you look at rental of products and so on. So because the authenticity
rental.
Of...
You said yeah. Rental?
Yeah, rental, yeah.
So do people rent clothes?
Yeah, so, I mean, you can... there are billion-dollar companies today which just... rents clothes. Rent the Runway is a popular U.S.
Wow.
brand.
Right? So, okay.
I mean, just take a skiing jacket and this thing, right? I mean, you don't have to buy them, right? You don't have to. I mean, both it impacts your storage space. It impacts your.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah. So there are quite a few products.
So when you go skiing, you not only could rent the skis and the poles, but you could actually rent the snow pants and the coat because you don't need to buy it because you're only going once in your life.
Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah. And then how does blockchain affect that?
Yeah. So as a consumer, right, I think what you're interested is to know the authenticity of the product, right? I mean, whether this is the right product from the brand that I'm supposed to, because it also impacts your health, right? So providing the authenticity, so there is a big initiative around, I mean, product passport in Europe, which is coming up. So wherein you can say that, okay, what this product was made of, when was it made? I mean, has it been used 100 times or has it been used 10 times? Because you don't want to use something that is just getting used every day, right? For 365 days. Because you want to also be comfortable in reusing. So there are quite a few questions that people have. And if you want to return, right? So assuming you start skiing from one side of the mountain and then you want to return the cloth back in the other side, how do they know that, I mean, the product that you took is the right one, when you took possession of that particular product and so on, right? So the idea is, I mean, I think extending the data about the product even beyond the life cycle of the product, I think that is the most interesting potential, right? Now think about repair and re-commerce, right? So one of our customers, they're actually building a repair and re-commerce store because people just return their clothes in take-back programs just because, I mean, some button is gone or, I mean, there is a small this thing. If that can be repaired, assuming it's a high street product, right? I mean, there are markets which are evolving, especially with conscious customers coming up, right? People now are looking at even second-hand jeans, right? I mean, hopefully, I think at some point we will get there. And you are a traveler, just imagine a world where you don't have to carry a big suitcase, right? Just go with your backpack for 30 days, rent all the clothes, shoes, I mean, just enjoy your trip and come back.
I like that. That's interesting. Yeah, and I mean even climate, right? So let's say I'm going to go to, I just had a friend, believe it or not, who went to Antarctica. That thing could have been very expensive to bring all your clothes and buy all new clothes and go to Antarctica. Maybe she could have rented it, and you're saying with blockchain and supply chain, you could essentially trace that. Was this thing used 1,000 times, or was it used one other time? Is it legitimately? Here's something. Is it going to keep me warm? You know how certain sleeping bags have rating on how many degrees they will keep you warm? If it's a generic one, you don't have the same confidence. There's that. Hey, you ever think about that, my friend? I
I
mean, so
think
it could
all
save
these
your
data
life.
are critical.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. Okay, so what can we do? This is fascinating. As we end today, what can we do to get more involved? If people are saying, oh my gosh, I like this, I want our company to discover how we can be more traceable, what would you suggest?
So I think first thing is, like I explained about the assessment, self-assessment, right? It's just to understand, right? So, like I said, traceability is a journey. We have a lot of, and you need to have a purpose to do traceability, right? So without a purpose, if it becomes a pet project for somebody, so the purpose has to be either in terms of conscious consumerism, helping customers to discover about the product, or it has to be a circular business model. Establishing a circular business model, or it has to be compliance, right? So today, compliance is actually becoming more real, okay? So for you to understand which is the right use case for you, we have actually published a handbook of traceability, right? Which is actually you can see in our website. So the knowledge hub. So we have been investing. The traceability playbook. The traceability playbook is actually a consolidation of different use cases of how various successful brands, not our customers alone, right? It is also third party, who are not our customers, but based on our research, and also quite a few good authors have contributed to this book. So this basically talks about what are the right use cases for you to get started on traceability. So once you have a use case and a commercial reason to start on traceability, we are there to help you.
So good.
But before that, just understand, right? Why you want to do this.
Folks, it's called trustrace.com, and you got a assessment, you have a playbook. This has been used by they're in touch with Adidas. I saw a Gucci product pilot going on here. This is pretty legit, my friend. I think you've blown my mind today. I think I'm going to walk away a lot smarter, seriously. I never thought of this. Anytime I think about new thoughts, I'm like, wow, this is amazing. So, every product has a story. I'm going to walk away with that one forever. That's good. Well, thank
Thank
you
you.
so much. Anything else you want to say in conclusion?
No, Carrie, I think you have been doing a phenomenal job. So, I'm
Awesome.
a great fan of all your work. So,
Awesome. All right.
should be
You
talking
take
to
care, my friend. We'll be in
you.
touch. All right. We'll see ya. Bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to Blockchain Life. We hope today's conversation ignited your soul and inspired your mind. Post your comments in a podcast review on iTunes or your platform of choice. We read every single review because your thoughts matter to us. Please share this episode with a friend. We look forward to seeing you again on the next episode.